Thank you. Good day, friends. We come to you with studies in the book of Galatians, that is Paul's letter to the Galatian church. These dear people had accepted the Savior, had been filled with joy, had experienced his peace. In fact, they were full of ecstasy, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was evidently set forth crucified among them. And teachers had come in who had robbed them of their vision of Christ and put them under the law as a rule of life. And the result was they'd lost their joy, they lost their ecstasy, they lost the experience of peace. They were moved away from the gospel. And the Apostle Paul is defending this message of the gospel of the grace of God. Now I repeat it, one of the rarest things in America is the preaching of the grace of God that can take hell-deserving sinners and transform them into men and women fitted for the presence of God himself. So fitted that they become members of his family and are joined to him. Indeed, their very bodies become the sanctuaries of God. My, what a message to give to men dead in trespasses and sins. What a Savior to present to a world that is hungry for security, hungry for peace, hungry for real, real lasting joy. And yet we fail to give to men and women the wonderful story of redeeming grace. We take the natural man's view when we try to add to the work of Christ, as if Christ's work was not sufficient for us. And I'm pleading for that in these lessons today, these days, that you might get down into the very heart of this book of Galatians and realize what the Apostle Paul is standing for. And we're in chapter 3, and today I'd like to read just two verses, 13 and 14 of chapter 3, where we read, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one who hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And here we have the sufficiency of the work of the cross revealed at Calvary, the sufficiency of the gospel revealed at the cross. Mark this 13th verse, Christ hath redeemed us, or if I may change the word, Christ hath loosed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Christ hath set us free forever from the law and its curse. You see, well, it just speaks of the curse of the law here. All right, when we get to chapter 4, you find he redeems us also from the law itself. He's redeemed us, he set us free forever. And my, the folly of even Christians today, turning back to that from which Christ has delivered us, to put us back under the curse of the law. Listen, friend, Christ is the end of all self-effort. Self-effort ended at the cross. That's where it landed you and me. With all our striving, with all our sacrificing, with all that we went through in our religious exercises, and giving up this and that and the other thing, trying to merit favor with God, all ended at the cross. When Christ died, he was declaring the end of all self-effort. He not only put away our sins, but he died for us. We were the ones who should have died. We were the ones under the curse of a broken law. And he took our place. My, what good news this is. All the law could do with us was curse us and say you must die. And Jesus died in my place and he set us free forever. He met every demand of the law. Every demand of the law was met. And Jesus Christ fully satisfied the broken law. He took your place, he took my place. And when he did that, the curse of the law fell on him. Again, I want to say, my friend, I want to get this clear in your mind. All the law of God can do is to curse. It's a ministration of death. It never gives life. It never delivers from sin. It never empowers you to live godly. It demands all these things. And woe betide the man or the woman who breaks the law in one point if they have put themselves under that law. As we had in verse 10, cursed is everyone. Oh, how glad I am. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangeth on a tree. Can I put it this way? Can any law-keeping add to what he has accomplished? Oh, listen, friend. To go back to the law, even as a rule of life, is to deny the sufficiency of the work of Christ. And yet I say this very, very sadly. This is what is happening today, even among evangelicals. We go back to law-keeping and thus deny the sufficiency of the work of Christ. And that's why today so many people are discouraged, so many are backslidden. See, well, Mr. Mitchell, just a minute. You put us under the grace of God and we will backslide. Oh, no. Oh, no. The reason you backslide is because you've gone back to the law. You get discouraged. You're honest enough to know that the law demands certain things and you can't meet the demands of the law and you get discouraged. Why don't you turn to the Savior? You say, He is my Savior. Well, why not let Him live His life through you? We had that in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, when Paul says, I no longer live, but Christ liveth in me. Listen, the life of Jesus Christ defies imitation. It defies imitation. You say, yes, but I have met Christians who believe in the grace of God, and they fail God. What are you going to do with them? Well, shall I use the law as a club? Am I going to make them behave by using a club on them? Or shall I attract them to their Savior, who is an all-sufficient Savior? You see, the trouble is, people haven't fallen in love with Christ. We haven't begun to appreciate what He accomplished for us. I wonder if I dare just digress for a second here. I've been saying to you that Romans 1:17, the gospel is a revelation of the righteousness of God. It's not a revelation of the love of God. It's a revelation of the righteousness of God. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, this is the message which we declare unto you, that God is light. You see, but afterwards he said, God is love. I know that. In the 4th chapter of 1 John, verses 8 and 16, I know that. That's the very last revelation of God in the Bible. But there can be no manifestation of His love apart from His righteousness. My friend, God saved you in grace because His righteous character had been satisfied by the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. And when Jesus Christ fully satisfied the divine character of God for you and for me, because He died to put away our sins, God would not spurn His law. The law of God must be satisfied. And the law of God was satisfied when Christ died, bearing your sin and my sin. Now the law has no more to say. We've been joined to Christ in resurrection. And His righteousness has been put over us. As you have it over in Isaiah, He's clothed us with a garment of righteousness. As Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. My friend, do you believe that? Then why do you want to spoil it? Why do you want to spoil it? Why do you want to be satisfied with something which is far less? Even if you did keep the law, that righteousness would not measure up to the righteousness of Christ. So why not be satisfied with what He is? Why not revel in it? Why not rejoice in it? Why not believe it? The gospel is a revelation of the righteousness of God. And when you bring the law in, even as a rule of life for His people, then you ruin the gospel of the grace of God and you deny the sufficiency of the work of Christ. You don't want to do that, do you? Of course not. Remember, the law never helps you to be good. The law stands over you with a club and says, you must be good. But you cry out and say, I can't be. When I want to do the right thing, I do the wrong thing. And the law doesn't help you, doesn't have any mercy. Curses you. It curses you. You can understand now why the Apostle Paul wrote this letter with his own hand. He's more concerned In fact, I would say the danger of the Galatian church is far more severe and far more serious than the carnality of the Corinthian church. Falling into the lusts and desires of the flesh into which the Corinthian church had fallen was not as bad as the Galatian church, who became legalists and by their very actions were denying the sufficiency of the work of our Savior. All is in Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. And please don't go back to law-keeping and thus deny his sufficiency. Deny what is accomplished. If you go back to the law-keeping, my friend, you're intimating by your action. If you're doing that to keep your salvation or to be saved, you're declaring the work of Christ on the cross is not sufficient to save you. It's not sufficient to keep you. That he's not an all-sufficient Savior. Do you want to say that? Of course you don't. Of course you don't. Then why don't you believe and put your trust in the Savior entirely? And he goes on to say in the next verse, 14, that the blessing of Abraham, this blessing of justification, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And receiving the promise of the Spirit through faith, this is given to us, as Romans 5:5 says, the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which was given unto us. For the moment you and I accept the Savior, our bodies became the sanctuaries of the Holy Spirit. We became the temples of God, as 1 Corinthians chapter 6:19 declares. I want to leave that with you today. And I'm sure you're realizing this one fact. The one thing I'm really concerned about is that you do not deny the sufficiency of the work of Christ. It's sufficient for you, it's sufficient for me, and for all his people through all eternity. Now may the Lord bless you today, and again may I suggest, won't you read the book of Galatians through? Just read it through at one sitting, and read it every day if you can. It'll be a real thing to your own heart as we discuss these things, and the Lord bless you today for his name's sake.